welcome to the homily studio for the 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time. That's the 31st of July, 2022. As Jesus said on many occasions, it's good for us to be here, thinking not only us in this room, of course, but every one of you listening, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Our purpose, of course, in gathering and our purpose in sharing this conversation through the podcast is so that every one of us can grow in experience of a knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God present with us. Let's take a moment, those of us in the room here on the podcast this morning, to introduce ourselves.
So I'm John Kinder from Perth in Western Australia, although I'm a South Island born, North Island raised person. It's lovely to be with everyone.
Hello, listeners. I'm Kate Cairns. I'm a member of St. Francis de Sales and All Souls Parish in Devonport, and I cross the harbour most days to work in the city, and I'm a leader in a business school in Auckland.
Hey, I'm Trina Ducey. I'm Irish born and probably New Zealand raised because I've been here about 25 years now, so I feel I've grown up in this country. Married, two kids. I work for the Catholic Diocese of Christchurch, and I'm part of the Selwyn Parish just outside the city.
Many people who listen comment on the diversity of people we have in the studio, and there is a great diversity. The world's kind of covered. We've got Ireland there and Perth, Western Australia, and Kate in Auckland, and me down here in Christchurch, from which it's only a local call to talk to God, of course, in the South Island. let's begin in prayer, as we always do. And the reason that we begin in prayer is that we're not simply sharing our own thoughts or our own ideas, but our desire is that we really hear the Word of God, Jesus Christ, speaking to us through these scriptures, aware of our own agendas, our own fears, our own hopes. We pray in the opening prayer of the Collect of this Sunday, the 18th in Ordinary Time. Draw near to your servants, O Lord, and answer our prayers with unceasing kindness, that for those who glory in you as their creator and guide, you may restore what you have created and keep safe what you have restored. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
I'm running out of voice already, so the three of you are going to have to do more talking today. Who would like to start?
Can I jump in straight away, John, and do what I sometimes do and go to the psalm? I know that's a bit unorthodox, really, because we usually start with the gospel and kind of work back from there. But this is one of my favorite psalms. And in verse 3 of the psalm, we read, "Make us know the shortness of our life, that we may gain wisdom of heart." So it's a meditation on our mortality this Sunday. It's a bit of a challenge, because the fact that we are not going to live forever is something that we sometimes would prefer not to think about. But here it is, front and center, and the readings are kind of all about that as well. You know, we weren't created just to be here. We were created to be here. And while we're here, to discover that actually we have another home. And it's not supposed to be a negative or, we're not supposed to be scared or depressed about this, because the next verse of the psalm says, "In the morning, fill us with your love." And it's morning here in Western Australia, where I'm speaking to you from. I've just been for a walk. And it's a clear blue sky, sunshine. In the morning, the Lord fills us with his love. So I'm meditating on the fact that I am a mortal, finite creature. That should give me wisdom of heart. And every morning, I'm filled with the love of God.
Well, good on you with that good weather. I can't say that we've got great weather in New Zealand, but certainly we're not in the middle of a heat wave like some the countries in Europe. We've got far too much precipitation here. And it's very possible, I think, to have that, what is it, seasonal affective disorder in the middle of winter. I'm fortunate that I don't have it. But yeah, these readings are, to me, about a good reminder at any time of the year not to get caught up in things that are fairly transitory, fleeting, futile, and that there is this bigger picture, as you say, John, for us to look much more keenly at. And so in that first reading, we've got that famous thing that all sorts of people say without knowing necessarily where it's come from, but vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. I think the word vanity is used about 5 or 6 times in the first 2 lines of the first reading from Ecclesiastes. And that's really doing, for me at least, that reminder that we do get wrapped up in some worldly, earthly things that are pretty unimportant in the greater scheme of things.
I found all these readings really timely because my daughter is 16 and she's thinking of what she wants to do with her life, and my son is 13 and he wants to get in on the conversation anyway. And I always find myself talking to the kids about joy and doing, you know, whatever job you have, it has to bring you joy. It's not about a paycheck. It's not about, you know, collecting money and being rich and being powerful. It's about wanting to get up every morning, wanting to look at the sunrise and thank God that you're going to work and enjoying your job. And I just found so many good quotes in here that I can use the next time we're having this conversation. But it's something that I find the Catholic school system here in New Zealand really good at reinforcing, that idea of service and the fact that it isn't just about, you know, doing well in life. It's about giving service and giving to others. And I think that's a bit like what the gospel is trying to get across. It's not about hoarding your stores and having all those things. Like my husband always says, you can't take a trailer to heaven. You know, it is about the richness of your life. I found this so pertinent to many discussions I have with the kids. So I loved it. My favorite quote though was in that second reading, Christ is all and in all. I love that. I think that's fantastic. I'm going to make a little quote card with that. I thought that was really, really, yeah, that really struck me from everything today.
Trina, that means that if Christ is all in all, that means even in our preoccupation with the things that are not absolutely essential, Christ is in that too. And I think we, you know, we very often play that old game, goodies and baddies, and, you know, we always used to think in terms of who's in and who's out and who's good and who's bad, which is a very childish way of thinking about the beauty and the breadth of faith. So this is not a reading about the good way and the bad way. The things of the earth are important, like people who have families, and like we have to provide food, and if we do nothing, well, we're not really doing what we need to be doing in order to provide food for ourselves and for those we love. And the same with the roof overhead. These things are important, but perhaps it's last week's gospel, Martha and Mary, that really focuses us again. I'm sorry, it was the week before last now, wasn't it? Like Martha, here she was doing what was essential. Like food on the table is essential. The problem was that she was worrying and fretting about many things. And that is the problem. You see, when we focus on the thing, on trying to build bigger barns and put more in them, well, we've lost perspective and we lose the fact, as already we've said, God is with us, God loves us. And that's the perspective that we need to shift to. So yes, these things of earth are important, but when they become the focus, the sole focus, the priority, then we've lost perspective and everything, even the things which potentially give joy, everything becomes the burden.
Yeah, that's exactly what struck me about the rich man in the gospel, because the rich man, God doesn't call him a fool because he's rich or because he's got lots of, you know, he's had a good harvest in that. But he has a good harvest and decides to build bigger barns, and then says to his soul, my soul, you've got plenty of things laid up for many years, take things easy, eat, drink, have a good time. So it's that he's lost sight of the meaning of all the things that he's got. And in the second reading, I love these readings. Every now and again you have a reading with the word fornication in it. It sort of makes me sort of sit up, really. It's almost like someone said a naughty word during Mass, and lucky I don't have to read it. But you know, all the things that St. Paul says there are bad. You know, in my missal it says fornication, impurity, guilty passion, evil desires. Those things He's not talking about things that are bad. He's talking about us taking things that are good and making them bad. So sexual desire is good. Passion and desires are good. Hunger for food is good. It's when we apply those desires in the wrong way or in the wrong measure, you know, too much or too little, that's when we go astray. And the answer is exactly what Trina said. Christ is all in all. All the desires that we have ultimately lead us to him.
And moderation in all things. Set of readings, or particularly that second reading, if we're saying, you know, we're not dealing with these polar opposites of good and bad, and we live in a world where there are shades of all sorts of things going on. And that, you know, sometimes and we can act in ways that are moderate and be sort of within the bounds of reason, even rather than always adopting these, I've got to go to an extreme.
Mm.
I'm enjoying the different translations, John, because I haven't got fornication in my translation. I've got immorality. I got a bit distracted. I'm just a word of encouragement to all of those who are reading the scriptures. Get the words right. I remember at a funeral where the family had chosen the reading, so-and-so is now raised up to the bright promise of immortality. Instead, they read the bright promise of immorality. So you just be careful in the reading.
Maybe you don't want moderation and immorality.
I can't help but think today, too, that if it wasn't the Sunday, the 31st of July, it would be the Feast of Ignatius of Loyola. And he's a very well-known saint, but particularly because he communicates the heart of the gospel and the process of conversion so well, so attractively, so simply. So Ignatius is helping us to understand through the process of conversion how so many things that are good in themselves can for us become attachments. And the moment they're attachments, then our hands become clasped around these good things, even things as good as family and the people we love, which means that we're no longer open before God to receive what God is offering. And there's a prayer that I'll just give you a little warning that at the end I'm going to finish with the prayer, which is the Suscipe, the prayer of receiving of Ignatius of Loyola. So the take, Lord, receive, which sounds like I'm giving to God, like take, Lord, receive what I'm offering. But in fact, the whole point of the prayer is that we can only pray it because we're aware of what we have already received. And how often when we let go of our, to go back a couple of weeks, our Martha-ness, our preoccupation and our obsession with good things, we're not open to receiving. So the call really is that the word suscipe, receive. Let's be aware of what we're called to receive from God before we give.
I love that prayer and also the hymn that embraces it. And I think, I wrote down detachment as well. And I think there's you know, and you see it in Buddhism, you know, particularly strongly to this detachment.
Detachment. Kate, I'll attach the hymn. I presume you're talking about the St. Louis Jesuits, Take, Lord, Receive. I'll attach it to this podcast people can listen.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the Dan Shute one. These alone are enough for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll attach that one too. That way you get two hymns on today's podcast.
But see, the way I understand this business about desire and hunger and the needs that we have is that they are all actually good. I don't get any message here that there's anything bad in having a good harvest or having desires and having, you know, needs that need to be met. I'm made human. I've got a body. I've got a soul. My body and my soul have needs. But what I'm getting here is that the needs that I feel and the desires I have can never be satisfied now. So from time to time, you feel like you have satisfied them, and I'm completely right, but we're never quite satisfied. And I think the more I think about
this lately, the more I'm thinking that these desires that I have and the needs that I have, they are the place where I discover day by day that actually the only thing that can completely satisfy me, the only reason why I exist in the first place, is Jesus, who's the revelation of God. So the rich man, it's good that he had a good harvest because he's going to feed his family and he should be sharing with other people. It's good. It's good to have all the desires that Paul talks about, provided we understand that they cannot make my heart totally satisfied.
And it goes back to the vanity that Kate was talking about. It's the vanity of thinking you've got all this because of yourself and your actions without realizing that we're here because Christ is all and in all. And it's through him we've been able to do it. So it's not about just building up your storehouses. You're able to do it because you have this life.
Yeah, your reflections are helping me to understand this. I talked about the good and bad and how we often go for one or the other. But in fact, and John, you really helped to clarify this, that our desires and even our temptations are almost always for things which are in themselves good. The problem is we stop short of what these things are a sign of, like the abundance that we might have in the harvest is a reminder of and a sign of the ultimate in abundance, which is our heart's desire now and eternally, which only God can give. So the problem with our sin is not that we're going in completely the wrong direction, it's that we're going in the right direction, but we're grasping at what looks to be available here today when, you know, the farmer planting the seed in the spring can't do anything to hasten the harvest. So in the time it comes. So if you dig up the seeds next week, you're just going to delay the harvest. And in fact, it's one of the hardest things for me to learn when my father taught me to sow radish seeds and then just wait, water and wait. But I wanted to dig them up and to see how they were doing, which so we want it now. And that's everything in its time.
Yeah, we can become kind of, I think this is all telling us, we can become overly attached to all sorts of things. In the next reading, we can be overly attached to work. And the message there is that actually we can build up all of this stuff and then we're going to have to, you know, shuffle off this mortal coil into somebody else's game. Well, that might be okay. You might be able to reconcile that. But we can be totally overly attached to some things. I can think of people who, not many, but some who are so attached and their identity is so tied up in their work that their work is not just something they do within a reasonable complement of hours. It's something they do all night and weekend, and when they're not working, they're talking about it and there's not much else. And I think there's messages all through this about you don't know the hour, and you know, you might be dying tonight or tomorrow. and that's just reminding us not to get too attached to life itself.
Because I can think of other people as well who actually are very committed to their work and are very busy and very productive, but have a calmness and even serenity about them, which I find, I sin through envy a lot because I see what other people have got. That I want some of that. But that I think is the spirit that these readings are giving us, that, you know, we should be right in there, in, you know, living life with both hands, but remembering actually that everything is Christ. You know, Christ is all in all. My translation here, this is the Australian translation, says there is only Christ. He is everything and he is in everything. It's not as good as the one that Trina quoted, but, you know, we're living life to the foot, to the max, aware that actually it's all leading us to God.
Sometimes we think I can get caught up in thinking that living life to the max means being busy all the time. Mm-hmm. And actually, if there's anything that I took this time from hearing, you know, 2 weeks ago, the Martha and Mary readings again and the homily studio reflection on it as well, is, you know, the need to actually pause, to take time to reflect. This is perhaps the better part.
So that's why I'm retired. See, I came off the payroll in the last year because I've now chosen the better part. Seriously, it's a gift.
You're attached to money because you'll be using it all up every day. It'll be useful. Don't build a bigger barn for it.
Yeah, you fool. And I don't say that, you fool, lightly, because God is pretty tough on the language. Like, you, not you, slightly unwise person. No, you fool. Like, how have you missed this? Like, perhaps the message here, like, there was a man, it's interesting that he was a rich man before he produced a bountiful harvest. So it wasn't that he was living in poverty and needed this harvest. So there was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. And now what this guy wanted to do was to keep this for himself. I need to build a bigger barn. He never even considered that this excess, which clearly he didn't need because he already had enough, wasn't his. Like, it belonged to others. The reason that he had harvested more than his barns could hold was that it was for him to distribute, to give away. It didn't belong to him. And so much with this, with the capitalist mentality, which is very often completely contrary to Christianity, we're looking at what we can get, what we can hold, what we can possess, when the key to our happiness isn't in that. Like, there are many people who do have more than enough but don't seem to be happier than many of the people I know who don't really have enough and are deeply happy. And if we're not realizing this is what God is saying, if we're not aware of this, well, we are being foolish.
I like the messages you were giving your children, Trina, about, you know, what's important.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, work that's fulfilling.
Yeah.
And those messages that we've been talking about of having enough.
Yeah.
When we've got more than enough, we can afford to share.
Yeah. And by being content and not vain is more important.
I've been thinking a lot in the last few weeks. Too often we actually water down what Jesus says and what the Gospels present and what the Scriptures give to us. We water it down because it would be unpopular. But the question we'd have to ask here is, if I do possess and try and get more money and build bigger barns and I attach to these things, will I be saved? Now, that's not a question that we actually hear dealt with in many homilies. But we have to say that the answer is probably not. We're taking enormous risks. This is the reason we're so foolish. It doesn't mean that we won't necessarily, by the grace of our God in a last-minute wake-up, realize that we won't spend eternity in heaven. But certainly in the present, we are not living as those who are saved. If our main aim is more possessions, more than we need, and bigger barns, the very thing that Jesus struggled to communicate, the kingdom of God is present and is among you here and now, that's what we're missing. How foolish can we be? Because the one thing that most of us want now is to be happy in this life.
Mm.
Well, we're given the method. And sure, it does take a major shift on the part of most of us to open our hands, to not be attached to all the things that the world tells us will give us happiness. But the rewards, the blessings, the abundance that we then receive immediately is evident. And if we're not sure, try it.
I love what Trina says to her children about, you know, find something that you love doing. And with my children, I've repeated something that I've heard. I don't know where I heard it. And basically it says, yeah, do what you love, but also love what you're doing. Because sometimes we can get ourselves we can find ourselves where we've got a job we don't really enjoy all that much. It's not particularly satisfying or appealing or clean or nice. But that's where I am. That's where I've been planted today. Today, my place is here. And this is the place where God is trying to reach me. So even if we find ourselves doing something not particularly attractive, do it.
Give us a take home, John.
Well, my take home actually is the end of the gospel. So it is when a man stores up treasure for himself in place of making himself rich in the sight of God. I want to learn how to make myself rich in the sight of God, to appreciate what he's given me and use it remembering who gave it to me.
take home, Kate?
I'd be asking fellow parishioners to take some time in the following week to think about what really is important in life. There's good reminders in these readings not to get too caught up in earthly things that are not important. But I remember a line from The Untethered Soul, the book The Untethered Soul, that said, if today was the last day of your life, what would you be doing? If you knew today was the last day of your life, what would you be doing? And I think that's a really good question to help me think about what's important, what's really important.
And Trina?
The response to Oriel Sam, I quite like, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And I think probably my takeaway is, are you open to hearing his voice? Because I think sometimes we forget that Christ is all and in all, and we should hear him more often, but we're so busy doing all this other stuff that we don't hear him. And so possibly this week, just pause and can you hear him? And even if you're doing something sucky, like John was talking about, can you hear the Holy Spirit giving you the kick up the arse that you need? Like, can you hear that voice? Because sometimes that's what makes the difference.
Indeed. Look, Trina, you've stolen my take home. I thought I'll be safe with that response to the psalm because no one's mentioned it. But there was, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's partly because I remember as a small child that being the response one day. I was probably only 9 or 10, and it stuck in my head. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Because it's the hardened heart that doesn't bring us happiness. And to listen for the voice of God. And if you who are listening have been challenged by what you've heard in this reflection, as I know I have, maybe it's the voice of the Lord. And maybe if you're listening and you think, wow, there's something here about the way that I live and what I'm attached to and the bigger barns that I'm building, well, if today we hear the voice of God, which is what we've asked and prayed to do, let's not harden our hearts. So thank you to you all. Let's bring this together in prayer. And the prayer that I mentioned during the podcast that is a very beautiful prayer is from the Spiritual Exercises of Ignatius, whose feast it would have been today, 31st of July, if it weren't for the Sunday. But in his Spiritual Exercises, the process of, we move through a process of conversion. And it's after that process, we get to the stage where we contemplate to attain the love of God. And this prayer is at the heart of that contemplation. We don't pray it because we're trying hard to. Ignatius makes the point, we're not trying hard to pray this prayer, but it's a prayer that wells up from the encounter with Christ, a relationship that we are in. So this is the prayer that is the evidence, if we can pray it, that Christ is working powerfully in us. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and possess. You have given all to me. To you, O Lord, I return it. All is thine. Dispose of it wholly according to thy will. Give me thy love and thy grace, for this is sufficient for me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.